If you're looking for a church with biblical worship, Christ-centered preaching, and the love of the family of God, we invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our worship service times on Sundays are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
One day, there was a king who had built a splendid city. In the middle of the city, the king designed a beautiful park with ponds, fountains, springs, magnificent trees from all over the world, exciting stretches of lawn, you name it, all of its beauty, it was there. Weekly, the king met with his subjects in the park, and his people delighted in the time with him and one another. One day, the king had to go away. And in his absence, the rulers let the park become run down, and it was overrun with weeds, and trees were not pruned. Everything was in ruins. A new group of rulers came in and were concerned to restore the park to its former beauty. They pulled out the weeds, they replanted, they pruned trees, but they were fearful that it would again fall into disrepair. In order to protect the park, they put a fence around the park's border and along the pathway so that the people could only look at the beautiful sights in the park, but could not actually use the park. Then one day the king's son came, and in anger, he tore down the wall and said, "Enough of this. The park is for the people of the city to remember my father and enjoy him, but you have kept them out of the park." So after that, he again invited people to the park to meet with him. Well, again, soon after, the leaders allowed the park to become unkempt and trampled down. It was again overrun, and due to neglect, no one wanted to come. It was so unattractive, no one came at all. Recently, developers, seeing that the land was unused, have begun to build an amusement park there. Others don't want to see this, but want to preserve it for the sake of their tradition. Still others want to restore it to what it was originally designed to be. To make matters all the worse, all parties are claiming to act on behalf of the king and his son, and everyone is thoroughly confused. That is Joey Piper's description in his book on the Lord's Day of what has happened to the Lord's Day and the understanding of the fourth commandment. When God commanded the Sabbath day to be kept holy, it was to be a day that people could enjoy God. We're going to look at what's happened to that and what was the original intention and what Christians today are to enjoy, what God has set up. Well, we're thankful that you have taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. You're always welcome to go to the website, which is agradio.org, to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All of these podcasts are there free for download, so do please make use of our website. And we would love to hear from you. There's a form there to write to us. Tell us how the programs have been a blessing to you, and any questions that you might have, we can answer them here on Abounding Grace Radio. Well, there is no question that if you want to inspire the charge of being legalistic or strict, just mention that you believe today that Christians should honor the Lord's Day, what is known as the Sabbath, which means to rest. The word itself today has become dangerous to use. Most Christians would never, ever use the word Sabbath. It hasn't always been this way, even in American culture. I remember the story of Eric Little, the British runner who in the 1924 Olympics refused to run on Sunday because it would be a breaking of the Sabbath. I mean, that would be so far off the radar for people today, they would look at somebody cross-eyed if they said they still want to honor a day of rest. Interesting, isn't it? that even when the West was being settled, they wouldn't even travel on Sunday. Why was that conviction lost? And, you know, you've got all sorts of questions surrounding this issue. If at one time this was such a predominant conviction among Christians, is it just something that was kind of old school and tied to the past? Was it really tied to some kind of legalism? How do we make our way through this? Is it something that has no value for the Christian? It's a very important subject, more important than you realize. A pastor was profoundly convicted about this when one Sunday afternoon, he had attended the local diner to eat lunch, and he was talking with one of the cooks at the counter. And during the course of the discussion, the pastor asked him if he was a Christian. Cook said, "Well, I am a Christian." And the pastor said, "Well, why don't you attend church?" The cook looked at him in shock and said, "Because of people like you, I have to work." And so when we take up this issue that seems to be so far gone, who even cares about it anymore? Is that really a conviction we should even have? What has been the problem? It's a sad phenomenon that when this issue comes up, I immediately get from people questions about what can and can't be done on the Sabbath. And my patent response to that now is, I refuse to let you do that to this beautiful thing that God has given us. You know, it's the same thing that happens with the book of Genesis chapter 1. There's always been this dark cloud of controversy over the study of creation, and we should never let controversy affect looking at Scripture on its own terms and seeing the beauty of what God has made. Can't we approach a subject like this without all of our baggage and ask the question, what was this seventh day all about? And why was this so important in Israel? Yes, I know what the Pharisees did to the Sabbath. I know what it turned into, but that wasn't originally what it was. I want to look at with you why God rested the seventh day, with the goal of showing how God rooted this in creation to teach us something about Him. And that when we lost this rest that was established at creation, when the fall happened, God, just like His creation, was very concerned that this very rest be restored to us. And our continual honoring of this work 6 days and rest the seventh day, that one in seven principle, is a way of preserving and strengthening us, God's way, until we enter our rest in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 2. This is what we read in Genesis 2, verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." God's creative work was done. God had finished the work of creation. It was beautiful. Remember what Israel was hearing when they read this account and received this account. "Your God, O Israel, made all of this. He spoke it, and it was." And when Israel looked out into a world that was full of false gods and powerful kingdoms of the earth that seemed to be more powerful than their God, and all of the oppression and wickedness that was happening in the earth, creation was something that Israel could look back upon and be encouraged that not only did their God make all of this, but He called it good. His creation meant something to Him. He delighted in it. So whatever had happened because of the fall and sin, they could know that God was not pleased with the outcome of this. In other words, that God was not pleased now that sin and rebellion in the fall had spoiled what He called very good. And that this holy God, that this just God would make it right. We're going to get there. We're going to look at that. But there was something else they observed about the Lord in creation. It was the seventh day. What did Israel think of the seventh day? And what did God later teach them about its meaning for them as a people? Listen to verse 2 of chapter 2. "And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all of His work that He had done." Now, Israel must have stopped and asked, why was God resting? What did this mean? Was He tired? Of course not. God neither faints nor becomes weary. What did it mean that God rested from the work of creation? It meant that God had rested from all of this work that he had done in creating the heavens and the earth. And this rest was telling them and telling us that God's act of creation, creating the heavens and the earth, was finalized. It was completed. And on the seventh day, he stopped creating. He ceased from the work and he rested from it. And the first thing that they learned about creation is this. Think about how important this is for today. God finishes what he starts. The entire creation to them was a declaration that God brings to perfection his work. And the seventh day of rest was a declaration to them that such a completing of his work is something that is bound up with who he is, his character, his attributes. He is good. He is not a God who takes delight in a job unfinished. Now again, hold that thought. So we read that he delighted in his work. It was good. The end of creation being the glory of God. And this resting signaled the fact that his work had been completed and he delighted in it. So what does he do? Well, we read in verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created. Now that's a huge verse. Do we understand it? God rests himself on the seventh day. And by doing this, Israel understood that something had been established that was to be perpetual in the life of those who live under the reign of this king. Did you notice how the day is presented? Every day it said there was morning and there was evening. There was morning and there was evening. And the reason for this is that God had established a work 6 days and rest the seventh pattern to teach his people that this was to be a lasting ordinance. But notice on the seventh day, there was no morning and there was no evening. He specifically takes the seventh day, blesses it, and sanctifies it. The word here means he separated it out from the common number. So in other words, God separated out one day among the seven to be blessed as a day of rest. And we know this to our day, don't we? We have 6 days, a 7 day week, 6 days, general work is done, and God intended the seventh day to be a rest. Now, Israel would have looked back at this and said, wow, the greatest crown of his creation was man. And in chapter 1, one of the most amazing things about creation is that God created man in his own image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. What a beautiful statement that man was created to image, in the image of their God, and their purpose would be to image him. The original indicates a purpose, as if to say he created them in his image so that he might, as he exercised dominion, as the Lord created, so that man, imaging that, might exercise dominion and rule over the creation as God has commissioned him to do as an image bearer. God said, fill the earth and subdue it. Just like God did in his work the first 6 days, so we are called to do. We are to exercise dominion in the earth. We are to fill the earth. We are to subdue the earth. But on the seventh day, God rested. So, as his image bearer, Israel understood that man is to image God by resting on the seventh day. So there's this continuous pattern that would be established for those whom he created in his image, that their lives would be completely consecrated to him to confess that he is Lord and image their maker so that we might pattern his work, rest, pattern set in creation, and glorify him. So that we as his creatures, those made in his image, would glorify him and enjoy him. That's what the Westminster Confession says. Why did God make us? What is the chief purpose of man? It is to glorify God and to enjoy him. God didn't want man to think that life is just about work. Aren't you thankful for that? It was more than that. God sanctified a day for man, that man would image God, so that God, as God took delight in the work of his hands, man would have a day to also take delight in that work and enjoy God. Notice what he says. He specifically blessed this day. It was a day to sanctify men and women made in his image, to have an opportunity to confess him as Lord and express his love, their love and commitment to him. What a beautiful thing, isn't it? The Sabbath was a beautiful thing. God makes the Sabbath for man, supplying a whole day of worshiping the Lord, so that just as God rested the seventh day, a perpetual rule was established that we might fully enjoy and hold sacred this day for the sole purpose of worshiping and glorifying God. That was the design. God took pleasure in it. We take pleasure in him. Now, that didn't last long, did it, dear listener? What was lost at the fall? Communion with God. They were driven away from the presence of God, and mankind has been on this quest to find meaning to his life, and he can't find it. He's dwelling east of Eden. They can't come back into the presence of God, trying to find their way. But we all know what the beauty of the Christian gospel is, if you have any understanding of Christianity. The beauty of it is God didn't leave things this way. His great gospel promise was restoration and salvation. And one of the things promised in the gospel from Genesis 3:15 forward is a rest for the people of God. In other words, God was going to bring them home. God was going to give them rest. God was going to save them, and they could rest from their works in the one whom he would send to deliver them. He would make a way so that they could have this rest again. And so what do we see God do? Lo and behold, he raises up a people to himself, through which the Savior would come, who would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth, the promise to Abraham. But the question for us today on Abounding Grace is, did God give up on this rest, this day of rest? How important was this to God? And what did this now mean for a people who were fallen? What would be the problem? Did our sin now nullify it? It's amazing how important the issue of Sabbath was to the Lord. What happened to Israel? They were in bondage, and what didn't they have? Well, they were under the cruel oppression of Pharaoh, who had a rigorous work schedule for them. Bricks with no straw, whips and beating. You think he said, "Oh, Israelites, I know you need a time for rest on the seventh day"? No way. The bondage in Egypt was 24/7. They were a 24-hour fitness center, if you will. There was no practice of the Sabbath in Egypt. So what's fascinating here is that the Lord breaks their bondage from sin in Exodus. He delivers them. He brings them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, passing them through the sea, baptizing them through the sea, resurrecting them to a new life as they come out on the other side, and they sing a song of salvation. That whole story of the Exodus, dear listener, is the story of our redemption. We were brought out from being in bondage to our sin, big bricks and mortar. We were saved from judgment by the death of Christ at the sea. We have been baptized into him. And today, as the book of Revelation shows us, we sing the song of the Lamb. We do tell the story of Israel. We've lived the story of Israel. But let me ask this. When did things get hard for Israel? As they entered the wilderness, as soon as they entered and they looked at this journey in front of them to the promised land, things got hard. And I believe a whole connection is made in Exodus to the life of sanctification, traveling from the day of our redemption to the eternal rest promised for us in the new heavens and the new earth. Israel had set out to head where? To Canaan, the land of rest, the land of milk and honey. But along the way, what do we find in the wilderness? Is it a time of rest? It's deep struggle. And you see, dear Christian, this is where you are. Right now, you are in this period between the cross and the new heavens and the new earth, and you are a pilgrim. Revelation says you are a wilderness people, just like Israel of old. And when we study these things and look at it this way, we learn a lot about the day of rest that God had given. Israel gets out into the wilderness, and what do they struggle with? They have no food, and they have no water. Provisions. And ever since then, they've been fighting the old nature. We want the food and the pots of meat that were back in Egypt. All of that represents the cravings of their former life. And the Lord has been teaching them to trust Him in the wilderness, to depend upon Him, to live by Him. It's in this connection that the Lord says, you need to rest. And the Lord starts raining down bread from heaven for them. He breaks open a rock to give them water. But right at the beginning of the journey, dear listener, what does the Lord raise? In Exodus 16, He says this, every seventh day, I want you to stop your wilderness journey, and I want you to take a delight in Me. I want you to rest in Me, pattern Me. In other words, the Lord lavishes down upon them this gracious gift of the Sabbath, telling them that He wanted them to rest, that they would be reminded that He was their King, that He would deliver them, that they were to enjoy Him on that day amidst all the stresses of life. And the Sabbath was an anticipation of the day when they would no longer need to be provided for in the wilderness because they will have entered that final rest. The Sabbath means that, to rest. And that's what we have here in the book of Exodus. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten of the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. As soon as they entered the land of rest, they no longer needed the manna. You see the picture? They were sustained on the manna until the day they would enter the land and have no need, but would eat freely off the land. And all of that, dear listener, is a picture of the new heavens and the new earth, a type. The land would be cleansed from all the enemies. They were to inhabit it. And Revelation 22 picks up on all of this and says, we will eat of the tree of life. We will eat of the produce of the land, the new heavens and the new earth. But the point is, until then, you see, we are a wilderness people. And the Lord wants to teach you something along the way. The Lord wants you to anticipate a greater rest to come, when you would no longer have to work and gather. And that's exactly what happens in Exodus 16. This is so important for us today. I'm going to close with this thought, and then we'll come back to this tomorrow. You know, the Lord said, speak to them that they would honor the continual repetition of a work 6 days and rest the seventh. I never want you to forget the purpose here, said the Lord. I want you to know Me. And as I make Myself known to you on the Sabbath, that you would be assured that you belong to Me. You know, this is something we've lost today. It's sad how many Christians are trying to build their lives and their homes without the Lord. And they wonder why they have no spirituality. They wonder why God feels so distant. They wonder why life is so hard and they can't make sense of it. And they're totally enslaved to their work. And the Lord has no real place in their life. I ask the question, do they worship the Lord on the Sabbath, on the Lord's day? Yes, we do that as Christians now on Sunday because of the resurrection. But we wonder why people today are so spiritually unfilled, hungry, and starving. The idea that has prevailed in our society is we don't have to do this anymore. We can do our own thing. It's sad today, and people wonder why they're not experiencing refreshing rest and peace. This is why Jesus said, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We enter our rest through Him. We long for the rest to come in the new heavens and the new earth. And until then, we pattern a work 6 days and rest the seventh. Yes, that is on Sunday now. that we might take a day to glorify him. Maybe we need to think about that a little more seriously. How involved are we in the life of God's kingdom and church? Is it a day to worship and enjoy him? Or have we said, no, thank you. I will do this alone, as we find ourselves spiritually starving, empty, and lost. The Lord said those who called his Sabbath a delight would ride on the high hills of the earth. I pray that this would be recovered today, that we would come and enjoy the Lord in anticipation of the rest that he is going to give us forever from our sin and our misery as we enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and your financial support. You can go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. The Escondido United Reformed Church is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We're thankful to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and would like to invite you to our Sunday morning worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. 1864 North Broadway is the address. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio.